This is the Agile Business Athlete Show, a well-being podcast that shows you how to beat burnout and have more fun. In each episode, Leanne will be joined by special guests who will share their secrets of how they stay healthy and energized and the simple steps they take to prioritize good health. And if they can do it, so can you. And now over to your host, Leanne Spencer.
Hi, it's Leanne Spencer. Thank you for tuning into episode one of the Agile Business Athlete Show. I'd want to set the stage for what's going to come in the next nine episodes. So in this one, I'm going to talk about what the Agile Business Athlete methodology is. What's it all about? What are the stages? How can you start to think about this? And then in the coming episodes, I'm going to interview a blend of guests and experts. So the guests, well, I guess they're all guests, but people who come and talk about their stories. So they don't have any particular expertise in, for example, sleep or meditation, but they do have a really good story to tell that hopefully you can identify with, learn from, and it'll just spur some thinking of your own as to how you can beat burnout, improve your well-being, drill into some non-negotiables that keep you well and happy. So that's what's going to happen. Now, the idea of the Agile Business Athlete came about from my own personal experience. So if I take you back to 2012, there's a very specific day, actually. It's Friday, the 12th of March. And I'm walking down Gracechurch Street in the City of London on my way to a sales meeting. And I'm meeting a guy called Gustav. And I'm hoping that he's going to give me the green light on a big sale. So I walk into that meeting room and it very quickly transpires within a couple of minutes that actually this deal's not going to happen. And Gustav tells me that straight up, just after I've taken my first sip of coffee. He said to me, Leanne, I'm really sorry, but the deal I'm expecting has fallen through. So there isn't going to be any deal. We don't need your data if the client doesn't need a system building. So I went home that evening and I literally took a look at myself in the mirror and evaluated what I saw and where I was in life. And essentially, I was drinking alcoholically. I was burnt out. I was 2-3 stone overweight, feeling miserable, feeling low, feeling despondent. I felt like I didn't have any purpose, or certainly a purpose that I could get excited by. And I realized that really I was going to have to make a change. So by Sunday night, I'd texted out my resignation to my boss. On Monday morning, he called me, accepted it quite quickly, I thought. And by Friday of that week, so the 19th of March, 2012, I've given back my BlackBerry, my pass, my laptop. I am unemployed. I've got nowhere to go to. And I don't really have a plan. I don't really have any savings either because I spent a lot of money going out, drinking, taxis and so on. But I did feel released. I felt happy in a way because I no longer had the pressure of a job that I found unfulfilling, that wasn't rewarding. You know, I was mixing with people that I just didn't connect with. I thought the values of the city could sometimes be quite low. You know, it was a lot about money and possessions and materialistic things and aspirations. And I just didn't connect with any of that. I can recall quite often I'd be sat at my laptop looking at outdoor adventure stuff, looking at mountain climbing courses and really just trying to escape from the job that I was in and continue to stay. And I take complete responsibility for that. So what I did next after that is I did take some time out to rest, recover. I also stopped drinking. So I haven't actually, coming up on the 1st of April of this year, it'll be my 10-year anniversary of sobriety, something I'm very, very proud of. And doing that also gave me the headspace to think about what I really wanted to do. And it came down to a couple of things. What I've always loved is business, entrepreneurship, which is bizarre because by that point, I'd spent about 17 years working for big companies and other people. So I guess that was part of the tension and the disconnect I was feeling. So I thought, well, what can I do that I can set up my own company fairly quickly and start making money for myself? And the other thing, paradoxically, that I'd always been interested in was health. Now, there was nothing healthy about how I was living. I was drinking anything up to a bottle and a half, sometimes more, of wine every single day. Starting at lunchtime, you'd be amazed how quickly pubs fill up in the city from about 11:30 onwards. And then definitely at least a bottle when I got home from work, every single day. So that was one extremely unhealthy thing I was doing. The other thing, I was eating pretty badly. I mean, I was having ready meals and I thought they were good because they were from a big brand, but they weren't. They're still ready meals. They're still full of salt and they're processed and so on. And whilst I was exercising, I was often exercising on a hangover or from a body that wasn't recovered. But that was really a lot of the tension that I was experiencing, and that built and built and built. And as I often like to say in the workshops we run, the body keeps the score. So you won't get away with it. The tension builds and builds and builds, and the body will eventually find some way of letting you know, look, you've got to do something. And that's pretty much where I'd got to. So I thought about how I could intersect the business side of things with the health side of things. And that's when I came up with the idea of being a personal trainer, something that I could train for within 6 weeks intensively. I could set myself up by buying some basic equipment and just get out there and start getting clients and doing it. And that's exactly what I did. And for a year, I loved it. I continued to enjoy it for a little bit after that, but I loved it for a year. I couldn't believe that my job was all about going to a park, meeting a client, holding pads for them, throwing a medicine ball, coaching them on their form and technique and enjoying them fall in love with exercise. It was incredibly powerful and incredibly enjoying. And around the same time that I was doing this, I was also going back to the gym and really working out for myself, going through weight programs, boxing programs, absolutely loving that side of things. And the pivotal point came is when I was in the boxing gym, Miguel's in South London, and I looked around at the athletes and I thought, these guys are in here, the guys and girls are in here for two sessions a day, some of them, 6 days a week. And how is it that they don't burn out? And the more I thought about it, I realized that it's because they have this cadence to the way they look after themselves. So it's a general observation, but I don't think it's too generalist. I think as busy professionals, we tend to think that we have to perform at high level all year round. There isn't any cadence to the way that we do things. So we don't look ahead to what's coming up, get ready for that big event, peak, and then recover. So if we look, for example, at Serena Williams, one of the most decorated athletes of our times, what she will not do is maintain her absolute peak fitness all year round. She will look ahead to the next big tournament, let's say Wimbledon. She'll then prepare for that tournament by doubling down on her sleep, her nutrition, her hydration, and all that kind of stuff. She'll then get ready for that event, perform to her best of her ability, and then recover. And recover could be doubling down on sleep again. It could be spending time with her young family. It might be having a lighter session on the court or in the gym. It could be focusing on meditation, any number of things. And we're going to talk about what those recovery activities look like, both in the stories that I'm sharing with you, but also with some of the experts and what they have to share with us. So for example, we've got Greg Potter, PhD, who's going to talk to us about sleep. We've got Gillian Lavender of the London Meditation School, who's going to talk to us about meditation and its effects on the nervous system. We've also got Dr. Ruth Bryant-Jones coming in to talk about the effect on the nervous system, of stress on the nervous system, and when it becomes problematic. So don't worry, that recover phase and that prepare phase are going to be covered off really well in the coming episodes. But that's what Serena Williams will do. And I thought, if we as busy professionals can look at that and model ourselves on that, so we look ahead to the events coming up, if you like, we ask ourselves the question, when are our Wimbledons? When are the big events in your personal and professional life that you need to prepare for? And then we go through that preparation phase. We build our bulletproof, if you like, by doubling down on particularly sleep, mental health, and energy. Perform to the best of our ability, and then recover. And that is the cadence of the Agile Business Athlete methodology. Predict, prepare, perform, recover. And then go again. Predict what's coming up. Prepare, perform, and then recover. And this is not complicated. It doesn't involve you doing 40 minutes of meditation a day, sleeping for 9 hours, not having any social life. It really is simple. It's little things you can do that might take a minute. What I like to call slithers of recovery. Literally, you can weave those into your day and make a significant difference on your stress levels, on your nervous system performance, and how you feel about life. That's the methodology. So it's modeled on athletes, hence I call it the Agile Business Athlete methodology. So let's drill down a little bit more into what each phase involves. Predict is the first phase. What's in your personal life that's coming up? Could it be the arrival of a new baby? Could it be a house move? Could it be a young child starting a new school? These are big events for you, big events for the family, big events for the individual involved. And it's important, I think, to look ahead, identify when that is, and think, okay, that's going to require the family to pull together. I'm going to need to be at my best for that event. So what can I do? Can I get to bed 15 minutes earlier? And so on. In your professional life, it might be starting a new role, taking on a promotion, building a new team, IPO, big presentation, new product launch. Any of those things would be examples of a big event, air quotes, Wimbledon, in your professional life. So the question, maybe you press pause right now and you think, when are my Wimbledons? what's coming up in the next 3 months is probably a good time frame that I need to identify. So assuming that you've pressed pause, you've gone off and you've done that work, or you're planning to do it later, let's talk about prepare. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail of this, but at high level, I like to focus on three things: sleep, mental health, energy, because I think those are the three areas that are going to have the biggest impact for you. Now, of course, there are others. There's nutrition, hydration, all sorts of different things you can focus on, physical fitness. I'm not going to go into all of those things in this episode, or certainly in this series. This is not an exclusive list, but these are the three that I think can make the biggest impact. Sleep, we always start with, because if you're getting a little bit of extra sleep and you've had a good night of sleep, you're going to feel like you can take stuff on. But if you've had a poor night of sleep, it's like wading through treacle. So I think any sort of health initiative or any project really relating to your own personal performance should start with sleep, because you'll find things a lot easier to do if you can get a good night of sleep behind you. So, as I mentioned, we're going to have Greg Potter, PhD, a sleep expert and scientist, come in and talk to us about sleep and how you can get more sleep, how you can improve your sleep hygiene, how you can get better quality sleep. And I'll share with you some of my tips around this as well. So that would be one episode to keep an eye out in the coming weeks. Mental health is the other part of preparation. So this is managing your nervous system. It's things like breathwork and meditation, which can be so incredibly powerful for managing the nervous system, and kind of set that up, if you like. The autonomic nervous system is the part of the nervous system which controls, for example, breathing. So it's a function that happens automatically without you having to have conscious control of it. Now, one of the most powerful ways of relaxing the nervous system that I know of is breathwork and meditation. And what it does is there's two branches to the nervous system. One is called the sympathetic. Think of that, if you like, as red. One is called parasympathetic, and think of that as green. And breathwork meditation helps us to move between those two parts of the nervous system, particularly from the sympathetic, from the red, to the green of the parasympathetic. You're in the sympathetic part of the nervous system when you're doing a workout, whether you're enjoying it or not, when you're feeling busy, when you are rushing somewhere. It's not a negative state to be in. So as I say, you could be doing this fantastic workout and you'll be in the red part of the nervous system just because your body is in that activated mode. The green, the parasympathetic, is rest and digest. So ideally, you're in that state when you're having a meal so that you can absorb all the nutrients from food. But also when you sleep, it's absolutely important that you're in the parasympathetic part of the nervous system when you sleep. Otherwise, you will not get a deep restorative sleep. So if we use that color coding, during the day, it's very likely there's going to be lots of red and some slithers of green, which is the slithers of recovery that I talked about earlier. But at night, we really want to see big swathes of green. And there is, by the way, wearable technology that can show you this in practice, but you don't necessarily need to do that. So green at night and largely red during the day, but you do need to get those little pockets of green recovery throughout the day as well. So one thing that Gillian Lavender will talk about is how meditation can be used to move you from the red part of the nervous system to the green. And there are myriad benefits that meditation brings as well, which I'm sure we'll cover off in that episode. And then energy. I will talk at some point about my foundations of fitness, which are vital, I think, for maintaining good energy. But it fundamentally comes down to walking and being mobile during the day, which also, by the way, is very good for our circadian rhythm. So when I say mobile, I mean standing up every now and again, doing what I call little movement snacks throughout the day. So 5 push-ups, 10 squats, brisk walk, 10 star jumps up and down the stairs, something that gets your blood flowing, that gets you up and out of your chair and moving all the joints of the body. So that's part of the prepare phase. And of course, all of this will get drawn out in other episodes of the pod. And then that's really about building your bulletproof. So where the predict phase can be summarized in when are your Wimbledons, prepare is building your bulletproof. It's doing things on a consistent basis, small things that pull together, have a significant impact that help you to prepare for the big event that's coming up. Stay well, beat burnout, stay resilient. So when we get to the perform phase, I do a light touch on this particular phase because I think anyone listening doesn't really need coaching on how to perform. You're probably successful, you know how to work hard, you have drive. But the key thing about this stage is just being aware of what your red flags are. So listen to some of the stories coming up, because I'm going to ask people or draw from them what their red flags are. So for me, it's anhedonia. It's when I'm losing pleasure in things I normally enjoy. It's when I become very irritable. And it's when I become sort of very tired and lose some of that drive and enthusiasm that I have. They are red flags for me that you're going too fast, too hard, or you just need to take a step back and build in more recovery. So that's the perform phase. It's what are your red flags? So as you listen to the other episodes, listen to what people say about that, and then spend a bit of time thinking about what your red flags are. And then the last, and I would say most important part of the methodology is recover. And that is about the idea of backing off beating burnout. So we'll talk in this episode and listen again to the stories and listen to how people recover. You know, they'll talk about the next episode, for example, with the Marina Pearson story. She talks about nature, backing off, other things that she utilizes to help her recover, to help her nervous system recover, to help her mind recover, and her body to rest and recover as well. And it is absolutely the most important phase because, as I said at the outset, I think what we're really good at as busy professionals is operating at a high level all year round. But we don't appreciate that that isn't sustainable. And that's why many of us get chronically stressed, fall out of love with our jobs, and possibly leave them, leaving this meaningful work behind in some instances, and burn out. So it's super important to know what your kind of non-negotiables are for recovery that help you to keep burnout at bay. So that is the methodology. And I'm going to bring in experts. We're going to have stories that help bring this to life for you and help to motivate, inspire, and educate. And that is going to be the essence of what we bring you in this podcast. So as I say, next up is Marina's story. I recorded this fairly recently, in fact, yesterday at the time of recording. And it was a really, really good conversation, better than I was expecting, because you never know how a guest is going to be. And Marina was open. She was vulnerable. We have a moment of emotion towards the end where I think she was reflecting on how far she'd come. And she shares lots of tips and techniques that have worked for her. So hopefully you'll get some, you'll be able to relate to that story. You'll get some learnings. But really what I want from all of this is that it raises questions in your own mind that you then go off and reflect upon and make changes. So that's episode one. You're not going to hear very much from me in the coming episodes. I'm going to be asking the questions and doing a lot of listening to the guests and the experts that we have on. So tune in for the next episode. And if you think this is something that's going to resonate with others, the greatest compliment you could pay me and the team would be to subscribe, but mainly to share the episode. Let other people know about this content and how they can tune in and subscribe themselves. So all the very best for now and enjoy this podcast.
Want more? Take our Wellbeing at Work company scorecard and get a free personalized report full of actionable insights. Or, if you're interested in finding out what your health IQ is, take our Health IQ scorecard. Links can be found in the show notes. And finally, if you've enjoyed the show, please take a moment to share and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you.